Hello, everybody. Welcome to our new program called Corporate Partnerships and Sponsorships for the New Economy. Okay, it's me. It's Siyama Poko. Okay, I know I sound a little bit a bit more formal, and I don't want to be formal because that's not how you and I relate. That's not how we operate on a daily basis. So I'll just talk to you the way I would talk to you over the phone, because it would be kind of weird for me to try and sound different. So I want us to relax. I want us to really just take it easy as we go through the program, because I want you to be relaxed. I think that's the most important thing. So that's the title of the program: Corporate Partnerships and Sponsorships for the New Economy. Alrighty. First, I wanna just take you through this note that I wrote for you. Apologies about that. I want to remove, there's something on the top of my screen which is kind of blocking my view. Okay, it's now cleared itself. All right. So here's a note that I wrote for you, and I'm just going to read through it with you. I just felt these were important things for me to touch on at the beginning of our work together. So let me read through, as you are also reading. Why are we doing this? Because it's you and I who are doing this program. Why are we doing it? You know, we need to, I'll tell you my reasons. And I also want to challenge you to think about why you are doing this. You know, this is not just a course or something that you are learning. This is actually work. So let's work. Let's actually do the things As I will be recommending things to you, I want you to just do them, you know, to just trust me and execute on them. Don't be like those people that just sign up for things just for the sake of learning, just chasing a new shiny object, just running around looking for new information. This shouldn't be just a piece of information for you. This actually should transform your life and your business and how you work. So these are my reasons. Let me take you through this. Why are we doing this? As an entrepreneur, I've had many experiences, some very painful and costly, others breathtakingly great and highly profitable. It is out of these experiences and many questions I've been asked over the years by fellow entrepreneurs who are searching for answers that I decided to share my ideas in this way. When I started MRI is my company, MAPOWER Research International, we made it our mission to spread ideas that push the human race forward. In fact, that's our payoff line. That's our tagline: spreading ideas that push the human race forward. Because I feel ideas have life. You know, we live in a time where information is everywhere. It's easy to take these things for granted, because, you know, we will swim in this ocean of information. But great ideas, when one really stops and look closely at them and execute on them, they change the world. So I have great respect for elegant ideas, and I love sharing elegant ideas that have worked for me. My goal for the Corporate Partnership and Sponsorship for the New Economy program and our 6 weeks together, I forgot to change that to 90 days. The 6 weeks is basically the course part where I'll be teaching you. But remember, when we finish the 6 weeks, I'm gonna mentor you. You are gonna have unlimited access to me so that I can answer all the questions. So I'll share my calendar with you, even my assistant's details, Chantel, so you can book a session with me anytime up until the end of 90 days from today, the time that you are receiving this first module. So this is day one of 90 days. So when I say 6 weeks, all I'm talking about is just the formal, the modules that you'll receive. But the program is actually 90 days. So you get your 6 weeks, and then on top of that, you get unlimited access to me, where I'll be mentoring you up to 90 days from today. So I just forgot to change that. Anyway, my goal for the Corporate Partnership and Sponsorship for the New Economy program and our 6 weeks together, or 90 days together, rather, is one, to help you create a predictable way to target and attract high-quality corporate partners. These are companies you are suitably qualified to serve, because a partnership is where two parties serve each other. You are already qualified. There's so much that you have that can benefit these companies. Indirectly, with their help, you will be better placed to help the people you made it your life's mission to serve. That's why you're in the business you are in, because you made it your life's mission to serve somebody, whoever it is that you are serving through your business. So with these partnerships will make it easier for you to do what you've chosen yourself or what you've been called to do in the world. There are people whose lives will be better off because of your service and your commitment to their outcomes and success. I may even add and say, and results. The same way I'm committed to your outcomes, your success, your results, that's what you are bringing to the world of your clients and potential clients. So number two, my second reason is to help you rise above the noise of industry commoditization and communicate your value offering in a powerful way. Because the thing is that a lot of people who, in almost every industry, everybody's trying to commoditize what they do. And I fight against that. You know, and I teach my clients to not commoditize themselves so that they can stand out and be seen for the value that they bring to the marketplace. And you, one of the ways to do that is how you communicate your value offering to the world or to your target market. Number three, to help you close 100% of the deals you should be closing as often as possible, while you respectfully uncover and walk away from deals that are not a match for you as quickly as possible. So just so I'm clear, I'm saying 100% of the deals you should be closing, because none of us are meant to close every deal that we negotiate or every deal that comes into our path. Some deals you will walk away from them. And my wish for you is that you can identify this early and know that this is not my deal and walk away. In fact, there'll be deals where even though you want them, they just won't close. People will say no. Even those deals, accept them and accept them gracefully, move on and just say to yourself, this is not my deal. You know, because there are deals that are meant for you, and those are the deals that I want you to get 100% off. Just like me, I walk away from a lot of deals, but I close all the deals I'm meant to close. It is my hope that you will commit yourself to making the application of these lessons a routine part of your business, that you will take imperfect action immediately, and that you will start building a business for the future, driven by this powerful lifetime strategy, among other strategies you will deploy for your business, or that you're already deploying for your business. So that's my wish for you. Immediately, don't wait. Don't wait until we are done. Now is the time to take action. Please note that I am not a medical, legal, or financial advisor. Instead, I'm a student of life and a servant of humanity. And I'm merely sharing ideas, insights, and practical steps that drive my outcomes in life. My hope is that some of these may help you too. If you need help in the areas of medicine, law, and finance, I urge you to seek a relevant certified professional. At the very least, I share these lessons for your own intellectual entertainment, because I don't know what you're going to do with it. Some people will just take this program just to stimulate and get themselves intellectually entertained and amused. So at the very least, I know that that's what some people will want to will seek to get out of this. But I hope it will be better than that, you know, because at best, should you decide to act on these, I would like to act as a guide who has walked this path before and still am. So what I'm teaching you are things I've done and it's things I'm doing. So at the very least, I'd like to just act or serve as a guide, if nothing else, you know. So nothing that I'll be sharing here can be construed to be legal advice or medical advice, because I really don't know how people would use this material. So nothing that I'm sharing, yeah, I want to be clear, you know, nothing I'm sharing should be construed as legal advice or medical advice or financial advice. You know, I'm really just a guide, and I'm only sharing what has worked for me. And I'm hoping if you use it, it will work. I'm hoping you will use it rather, and that you will get outcome. If you don't use it, well, you know, as I said, the least you can get is intellectual entertainment out of this. It goes without saying then that I cannot guarantee any results you will get from your dealings with other people. Why? Because they have their own free will, you know, and I have neither control nor influence. So the people you're going to be negotiating with your deals, I really have no control on what they tell you. You know, if they say no or they say yes, I have no control, as you know. But I mean, we have to say these things. They may sound obvious, but I have to state clearly that I really don't have any control. The best I can do is to train you and prepare you. But I really have no control on the outcomes, because you're dealing with people who come from different backgrounds who have their own free will. They may decide not to work with you, but some, of course, will. I know that, but I can't guarantee which ones or when. And then the last thing I want to highlight, you know, we live in dangerous times because of information. Information is everywhere. So people tend to take for granted the hard work that other people put in their work and their programs. So I had to add this last paragraph here. Please note that this information is respectfully shared with you for your own consumption and use within your company and use within your company. Your access to this information, whether communicated verbally in a written format or recorded audio or video, does not give you any right to share it with your clients or publicly, whether through materials you publish yourself, such as books, but not limited to that, and any other things, blog posts or whatever, you know, or public or private lessons you teach, because, you know, most people are teaching these days, you know, or public posts on social media. You don't have that right, but you know that. And I know people that are in this program are people that I selected, people I like, people I respect. So again, I had to include this because of the times we live in, and also just to remove any ambiguity. Now I'm saying it unequivocally, and that word is quite a tongue twister, but really unambiguously, that you can't, because this is, I'm just sharing with you because I want to help you, and you paid me for that. Should you ever need to share my stuff, please at least ask me. You know, we may end up doing some kind of a deal together, or I may just say, go ahead, or I may decline. But you don't have the right to just share my stuff because it would sound great for you, or whatever reasons. I really don't want to speculate. But yeah, so that basically this is a note for you. But let's get with the program. So here's a quick disclaimer. What you're about to learn in this program is not the approach or the only way to get corporate partnerships and sponsorships. This is a way. This is one of the ways. It's just my way. So I can only teach you my way, right? So right now, as you organize yourself, I just want to check if you've got a notebook and a pen in front of you. Because I would like you, as we go, as you watch this training, to pause. There'll be parts where I'll ask you to pause, you know, either to do an exercise or where you will pause for your own reasons to take notes, perhaps, which I encourage, by the way. Pause as much as you like and take notes. Another thing I'd like you to do is, as you go, write down questions. You know, where you need clarity, stop, write a question, which you will email to me so that I can answer it during our Q&A live call on Thursday. Okay, so please do that. I want to start with this story, the Great Walt Disney Partnership. So here's the story. It is said that when Walt Disney was starting Disneyland, his story was no different to most entrepreneurs. He actually ran out of money, apparently. Not once, not twice, but multiple times as he was building his theme park. In fact, right up to the end, right up to the time when he was about to launch, when he was launching, they actually ran out of money. They didn't even have enough money to remove the weeds right close to the gate where the entrance of the theme park. They couldn't remove the weeds there and plant, because they wanted to plant trees and all these things, nice things. But they ran out of money before they could do that. So what did they do? What Walt did was he instructed these guys to just trim the weeds, to just trim it, make it look nice. And then they put fake Italian names in front of these weeds to make it seem like these are, you know, special types of plants or trees that they planted deliberately. You know what I mean? So he was being resourceful, but that's not the crux of the story that I want to tell you. I just thought I'd mention that, you know, sometimes, in fact, in your life as an entrepreneur, resourcefulness is what's going to make things happen for you. In fact, these partnerships, in many ways, they are part of you being resourceful. But that's, again, let me move forward. But here's the story I want to tell you about Walt Disney. Because he was running out of money many times, he would go around to various people and companies and ask them to invest in his business. So one of the companies he went to was a popular television studio in America called ABC. He went to ABC and asked them to give him money for his theme park. Well, as it usually happens, they declined. They said, sorry, Walt, we can't give you money for your theme park. But then as he was about to leave, disappointed from this meeting, he thought to himself, let me ask something else. He asked them, what would it be then that you guys would be so happy about that you would give me the money? What is it that I can do that you would be happy to give me money for? What do you guys want that you'd be happy to give me money if you can get? Right? I'm asking this question in these three varieties because I'm hoping you get the question. So the executives at ABC, they thought about it. They thought and thought and thought. And they said, well, if you can have a Walt Disney TV show or a Disneyland TV show, we may give you money for that. Two, if you can sell us the rights to everything Disneyland that relates to Disneyland that is made for TV for a fixed period of time, we may give you money for that. And if the TV show that we are proposing, you would be the presenter of the show yourself, we may give you the money. And guess what happened? Walt Disney agreed to all three and he got the money. So there are two things really that I want to teach you today. The first of the two things is this one, the common factor that is common, that you find in all deals. All deals, all partnerships and all sponsorships have one thing in common. And without this, no deal, no partnership, no sponsorship can happen. So that's the first thing I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about the common factor that you find in all deals. Sorry about that. The second thing I'm going to talk to you about is what I call the 11 commandments of successful deal makers. So those are the lessons I want you to learn today. I don't want you to forget the story that I just told you about Walt Disney, because I'm going to come back to that story. So keep that back of your mind. But now this is number one, lesson number one I'm teaching you. After this, I'm going to teach you lesson number two, and then we're going to wrap up today's lesson. So So all deals, as I've said, all deals have this common factor. But now this is one of those times where I want you to pause. Before you continue, I want you to pause because I want you to do something. I want you to guess what the common factor is. Before I tell you, when you think about all the deals you've done, all the deals you've seen being done, and all the future deals that you will be doing, what do you think is common in every deal that if that thing is missing, deals just don't happen? So I want you to, I'm going to give you three guesses. So on your notebook, while you pause this, guess, and it's one word so that you know you don't get confused. It's just one word. So this common factor is just one word. So I want you to guess, I'm going to give you three guesses, just one word each, right? And then after you do the exercise, you can then continue listening, okay? Please pause. I know people that when you say stop, even if you're listening to an audiobook and it's a book about fitness and the book says, stop right now and get on the floor and do push-ups, people will not stop. They will just continue listening. Please don't do that. Right now, please just pause and do the exercise. Trust me, there's a reason I'm doing it this way. Just trust me. Got you. Did you pause? Did you pause? Okay, if you're back because you paused, well, congratulations to you. If you haven't paused and you're continuing to read, please. Now, I beg you one last time, just pause right here and do your exercise and then come back. But if you have paused, well, why not? Let's continue. So the deal common factor is revealed here. It's actually revealed right below on this page, but there's a bit of a twist to it because you have to decode it. Don't worry, decoding it is really simple. All you have to do is to look at the letters below and look at each letter one by one. Come on, let's just have a bit of fun. I'm not trying to complicate things for you. I just want you to engage with the material and I want you to have fun. Let's just play, okay? So don't stress too much about it. So the way it works is that you look at the letters below, you take letter number one, and then you change each letter by going back two letters in the alphabet. Here's an example. For instance, if you had a C at the bottom there, if you go back from C, two letters back, where do you end up? You end up on A, because it's A, B, C. So if you go backwards, you move from C to B and B to A. So those are two steps back. And then let's use Z as another example. If you go back two letters from Z, it would be Y. You move from Z to Y, and then from Y to X, because it's X, Y, Z. You get it. I told you it was gonna be simple. So now, what I want you to do, look at this word, if I may call it a word, at the bottom, and I want you to go back, take each letter, go back two letters. Let's do this together. So here it is. I've done one for you. So at least you can just do, I've done one, so you can do the other five. If you look at F, if you go back two letters from F, where do you end up? A, B, C, D, E, F. Go back two letters. Go to G. I'm not gonna tell you, of course, what it is because I want to see what you uncover yourself. Go to G, go back two letters. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Cover two letters, where do you end up? Do that with K, do that with T, do that with G. And then just have a look at that word that you come up with and see if you guessed it in those three, among the three guesses that I gave you, okay? Of course, you will figure it out. I know you will. But if you haven't, let's take you out of your misery. This is the word you're looking for. Desire. Every deal has this word desire, especially, in fact, let me not say especially, because I was going to say especially coming from the other side. So the people that you're going to be approaching for partnerships, they have desire. But the reality is that it goes both ways. But when deals don't work is when the other side does not have desire. and you just want what you want, and they have not, there's nothing that they want that you can help them achieve. At this stage, you don't want you to worry about, oh, but see, what do I have to offer? You've got plenty, and we'll uncover this during the program. So don't worry about that right now. I'm comfortable with you. Remember, I spoke to you before we started the program. So I know a lot about what you've got and what you've got to offer. So don't sweat it, because I know that you've got things that your partners will die to get from you. So just relax. So there's got to be desire for a partnership to happen, for a deal to happen, for a sponsorship to happen. Think about sponsorships in sport. Why do big corporates give, you know, sports organizations millions, in some cases billions of dollars? Why? Because there's a desire they have that gets fulfilled by sponsoring those sporting organizations or those athletes, okay? So desire drives deals, partnerships, and sponsorships. That's lesson one. Told you two lessons. So that's lesson number one. Number two is the 11 commandments of successful deal makers. So we're going to go through each of these 11 commandments. And what I want you to do is that I really want you to internalize what I'm teaching you today, because as we go through the program, this is going to be very important. Okay, but let's get into the commandments. The first commandment is, thou shalt never be needy. Yes, you want the deal, but never be needy. You may want the deal so bad. You may want the deal really, 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 really bad. But do not cross the line to the other side called neediness. Because neediness is a weakness in business negotiations. It's the greatest and the biggest weakness, particularly for you. It's okay for the other side to be needy. It's okay for them to be needy. But watch yourself. Never be needy. Needy people lose control and they make bad decisions and they make bad deals. So that's the first commandment. Watch yourself. Sorry, I just had a sip of water there. Watch yourself. Watch your neediness. Because why would you be needy? Let's just unpack this. Because think about it. I mean, you've been alive on this planet for 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades, 6 maybe, 7, I don't know. But you've been alive, let me just say, all your life. You've faced all sorts of situations and you pull through. There's absolutely no reason for an adult to be needy. Only babies have a right to be needy because there's so much they can't do for themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't walk. When they are really new, they can't even roll themselves on the bed. They can't change themselves. There's a lot that babies can't do. But you and me, no matter how desperate we are, I'm saying that in inverted commas because desperation in itself is a form of neediness. But let me just say, no matter how desperate we are, we should never be needy because we will always pull through, especially not in business. Come on. In business, be needy. Because, I mean, if you don't get one deal, you know, deals are like trains. If you miss this one, you'll catch the next one. Because there's never a good reason to be needy. Even if it's a big corporate, you're like, oh my God, I'd love to work with these guys. Chances are the next train will be their competitor and you'll probably make an even better deal with them. So just suspend your desperation or your neediness in a situation. So this is commandment number one. Never be needy. Second commandment. Thou shalt research and focus. Focus on the genuine need of your prospect or your target. We'll call them prospects, the companies you want to do business with. They are prospective partners. So we'll just call them prospects. or we'll call them targets, right? Focus on their need. I'll give an example. When I wanted to work with the JSE, when I wanted to write my first book back in 2008, I did a bit of research. I read in FinWeek that the JSE was struggling to promote optics. And I thought, I wonder if I could partner with them so that I can write my book, I can interview their CEOs, meaning the CEOs of listed companies, with the help of the JSE. Then I get to get what I want, which is to write my book, which is to get all these CEOs in front of me with ease. And then by them talking about their businesses and the JSE, we get to promote the JSE, which makes it easy for them to promote Altex. So that was my, I could see, I did my research. I think that's the point of my of this example, is that I did my research. So all of the companies that you want to partner with, all you have to do is a Google search. Search news about them and maybe use a keyword that relates to what you do, just to get their thinking around that, right? Because when you've got that intel, when you go to talk, when you reach out to them, you've got a basis, you've got context for reaching out. I hope that makes sense. So thou shalt research and focus. Once you've done your research, then focus, know what it is they want. You're right? Hence, I'm saying highlight their need at least three times during the meeting. Let's just say you reach out to them and then it leads to a meeting and there has to be a conversation. During that meeting, the worst thing you can do is being needy and want to only focus on what you want. You want to always drive the meeting back to what's important to them, because you want them to be needy for their own outcomes, such that you getting your deal is basically a balance, it's just balancing the equation of their own need, meaning that this is what you can do for them because this, that, you know what their need is, and then in return for what you're doing for them, this is what they will do for you, right? And during the program, I'll actually use a lot of my own deals to highlight this. So, because I know in your brain, you're probably thinking, but see, what can I do for them? What do I have? Relax. We will unpack this as we go, and we will also make it personal for you and your business. Comment number three, thou shalt go for no. You must never fear this little word, N-O. Never fear no. At the beginning of the negotiation, you must always tell people that it's okay for them to say no to your proposal. In fact, I never propose anything to anybody without telling them that they can say no. This is one of the most powerful ways to negotiate anything, when you actually give people the right to veto or the right to say no. It does a lot of things. First of all, it keeps you in check. It grounds you. When you say to somebody, you can say no to this, you are also reminding yourself that I'm not needy. It gives you posture. It also makes you intriguing to the other side because they think, but this person, it doesn't seem like this person wants anything from us. If she's comfortable to that a no is an acceptable answer, she's not desperate. So you become more interesting because they're not used to that, because everybody who comes to them asking for something is begging. You're not a beggar. You know, everybody's begging and pleading with them. You're not, you're just saying, guys, if this doesn't make sense to you, please feel free to just say no. I understand, I'll understand. So always go for no. Number four, thou shalt always confirm a yes. Be wary of an early yes, because skilled negotiators know that a yes can betray your neediness. Imagine if somebody, you ask something and they say yes. Think about it, when we were kids, you ask something from your sister or your brother or your cousin, something that they really, really like, and you ask them to give it to you, and they say, no problem. there would be, of course, this example may not apply to everyone, but if they normally say no, and all of a sudden they say yes, you stop and like, wait a minute, why did you say yes so easily? People do that in business. People will say yes to a deal that you're proposing, sometimes to trick you so that they can turn the tables on you later, or in some cases with unintentionally, maybe they just get excited. And then further down the line, it turns out it was not their decision to make. And then your deal gets blocked, this decision gets overturned by their superiors. So just be careful, don't get too excited by an early yes. You know, you must always stay calm. Don't get too excited. Challenge an early yes with a series of confirmations. Confirm the specifics of the deal. Confirm the details of what the agreement is about before you celebrate. And don't celebrate until the deal is signed. So watch yourself, because you can be tricked by a yes. Now, when that deal gets overturned by superiors and you have to, the whole thing has to be renegotiated, you've completely lost your posture, because you lost that whole neediness is now back and it betrays you. So just be careful of that. Number 5, thou shalt never leave with a maybe. You see, this applies, by the way, to anything, not just to these types of deals. In fact, one could say it applies a little bit less in these types of in partnerships and negotiations. But in most deals, never leave a meeting with a maybe. Maybe is not a decision. Real decisions are either yes or no. So if somebody says to you, oh, sounds interesting, we'll think about it. That's fine, but there must be clear next actions. Okay, you'll think about it. When? How long do you need to think about it? What's going to happen next? Who's going to contact who? When? You know, and you must also, if they say, no, we'll don't call us, we'll call you, find out when they'll call you. Get a firm date, get a commitment. And there must be an agreement that if they don't call by that date, at the very least, they must agree that you must follow up with them, that it's okay, you've got the permission to follow up, so that they don't ignore you. They don't ignore your call, they don't ignore your emails, and think you're passed on. And remind them that if they can't say yes, by all means, they must say no, so that there's closure. So remind, when people say, we'll think about it, remind them that no will still be acceptable, that you will be happier with a no than with a no response from them. Insist on it. So yeah, I hope that's clear, guys. Commandment number 6. Is you shall gain clarity. Some of the best deals start with a no. Remember, think about negotiations. What is a negotiation? A negotiation is really a conversation that happens once somebody had said no. Because when you propose something, either people will say yes or give us more information. It's still a presentation at that stage. You just say, give us more. You're presenting, you're not negotiating. But then they'll say no. Then a negotiation starts. That's a real negotiation. So some of the best deals start with no. Whoever says no needs to own their decision and give explanation when requested. So don't get frazzled by hearing a no. Relax. The moment someone says no, relax. And then ask for clarity. Ask for reasons why, because they have to, in order for them to own that decision, they have reasons. There's a reason they said no. So they'll tell you what those reasons are. And those are the reasons that are the basis of the negotiation. You know, those are objections in many cases that that guide you on how to navigate this negotiation. So no actually brings a lot of clarity. So when a no is offered, clarity needs to follow. So don't just say, oh, okay, thanks, bye, and leave. You know. Number 7, thou shalt never fear rejection. This kind of ties in. Can you see that the common factor here is neediness? All these things, they kind of tie back to don't be needy, don't be needy, don't be needy. Be okay with a no. Don't just take a maybe because you're too scared of a no. No, and alias betrays neediness. You must confirm it. All the things I've kind of touched on, they kind of, there's a common theme of neediness that you need to remove from your life. This one is no exception. Never fear rejection. Again, fear of rejection is a sign of neediness. Only the needy feel rejected. Because, I mean, how are you rejected? If you propose something to someone and they say no, how is that rejection? I mean, tell me. In business, I can understand if you're proposing marriage and you say, will you marry me? They say, sorry, not interested in marrying you. You stinky whatever. Okay. Just had to amuse myself there. But then they're rejecting you because you are offering them yourself for the rest of your life. But in business, you're not offering yourself. So how can you be rejected? It's just that people are just disagreeing with your idea. They are just declining your offer, your proposition. Right? It's just business. So your card can never be rejected. So the fact that the word rejection is even used in business is actually quite ridiculous, you know, because how can you be rejected? You know, because you can negotiate this, and once you made, let's say you come back a month later with a different proposition, the people who quote unquote rejected you last month when you came with proposition A, when you come with proposition B, if there's desire on their part, they'll jump at you. You know, it happens in business, it happens in politics. I mean, so this whole rejection notion, it actually doesn't exist, to be honest. We make it up, right? The prospect has no power to reject you. The only person who has power to reject, I would say, is a mother who doesn't listen to the cries of their helpless baby. That's rejection. I mean, and I don't mean because they're busy washing the bottles. I mean somebody who dumps their child, whatever the case, that's rejection. Or somebody who says, no, don't want to marry you, when you were so sure that they would accept your proposal. That's harsh. that hurts. Okay, I shouldn't laugh. Anyway, number 8. Thou shalt never compromise yourself. You know, what I mean here is that in many instances, a deal can happen without you groveling, bending over backwards, giving away the whole farm just to get a pig. Okay? So no, be clear where you are in the deal. Be clear what the real value of the deal is. Right? Don't give away the farm just so that somebody can give you a pick. Don't compromise blindly because you want this deal at all costs. Just watch yourself, okay? You know, it's because, and it's little things that we tend to do that betray our neediness. That's why it's so important to be calm and reasonable in negotiation. Doesn't mean you mustn't give concession on certain things, but don't bend over backwards, don't roll over and be a doormat because you want a deal. And we'll unpack this when we are doing examples, because I can't talk enough about this point because there's so many ways that this can happen, but we don't have that much time and context at this stage to go into it. Thou shalt never be too self-important. You know, the thing is, I mean, think about it. There are people who have a need to show off, you know, how smart they are, how they know everything, how great they are, right? People who have got, again, that's neediness. People who have that, we know them in our lives. We see them on social media. People who are Mr. Know-it-alls and Mrs. Know-it-alls, and they just want to be praised. And I think social media has actually done a lot of damage to the human race because people have so much need. They post something on Facebook, I keep checking how many likes did I get. Sad, isn't it? It happens. So So never have a need to sound smarter than the person you're trying to negotiate, because some people will be offended and you may end up not getting a deal because you just showed somebody in a negative light. Okay, just watch yourself, you know. So don't be too self-important. These things, they really betray your need to be liked sometimes. Sometimes you need to be perceived as smart or whatever. Just stay calm, okay? Focus on the outcome. Focus on what we're trying to get here, okay? You know, you need to be clinical in business. You know, you need to stay calm. You need to listen. More importantly, instead of trying to talk all the time, trying to sound smart, just listen. Because by listening, you gain so much insight from the other side. Because if they have to be talking, there are things that they are telling you that you can use in this dance of a negotiation you are having with them. Keep yourself humble. I know that in this group, people who are listening to this right now, I know that there's no issue with arrogance. Thank God. You know, you guys are humble people. So this already, you already have this. It already comes naturally to you. So you don't have to worry too much about it. You're not pompous pricks or pompous assholes. Excuse my French. Number 10. Thou shall never rush to close. You know, rushing to close, again, betrays you. You know those slick sales people that just want to trick somebody and confuse the person such that they close the deal and they can run out the door. Nah, that's not you. Slow down. Pace yourself. Listen. More importantly, listen. You know, rather focus on their need. Rather help them feel the pain of their own need. If you stay there at what's good for them, I promise you, you'll never be needy, first of all. Two, you'll close more deals by focusing on their desires, on what is great for them. So, by focusing on them, actually, it removes that self-consciousness in you. So there's no rush here. Don't rush people to close. You don't use your desperate situation and make it their problem. Otherwise, these things are not going to go well. So don't go into deals when you desperately need money, you know, to pay rent next week. You're right. When that deal closes, I can pay rent. No, you can't budget. You can't budget money you don't have. You can't budget on a deal you haven't closed. So just watch yourself, okay? That's why we are doing this program, so that we can pace ourselves with the deals we're going to do. Of course, there are deals you will do this month, right? But not out of need, not out of desperation. If anything, the less needy you are, the more the other people feel the need to do business now. You'll see what I'm talking about. If this sounds like theory to you, but you'll see. Just watch. Number 11, thou shalt ask and ask again. The only way to get what you want in life is to ask. Ask and you shall receive, right? Ask them what they want. Did you see what I just did there? Because when you think ask, you think, oh, let me just go direct and ask them for what I want. What I want. No. Ask them. You know, even when once you've done your research, that's part of the ask, because you're checking that, you know, like me, when I approached the JSE and I said, I see that you've got this challenge and here's an idea that I think can solve your problem. I was asking. It was an ask. I was checking if they'd be keen to have a conversation around that. It was an ask. Right? The more you ask, the more you get. Sometimes you will ask and don't get. You know what? That's okay too. Remember, you're not going to close all the deals. You will close only 100% of the deals that are meant for you. So remember the story that I told you earlier about Walt Disney, where he went to ABC and he said, hey guys, can you give me money for Disneyland? Sorry. And ABC said, sorry, we can't. If he left after that one ask, that deal would never have happened. But what did he do? He asked again. What do you guys want that if you can get, you can give me the money? What do you guys want that if you can get, you would give me the money? That was the second ask. So I'm trying to say to you, a lot of people walk away from deals without asking again, because they may not want what you're proposing. But when you ask them if there's something else you can do so that you can still get the outcome, they may just propose something else, okay? So that's just one variation of the second ask. So always keep that in mind, that after the first ask, once we've exhausted that deals are happening, you can go, you can do the second ask. Think about me. I mean, I told you a story of how when we went to the banks, they declined application. But then a couple of months later, over a year later, I was in partnership with the very same bank whose credit department declined our application for a business loan because we just didn't tick all the right boxes. But just over a year later, the whole bank was now a business partner on my venture, on a completely new venture. So that was the second ask, okay? That's an example of a second ask. So nothing is really final in business. Even if they don't do your deal now, it doesn't mean they're not gonna do another deal next year, because for all you know, there will be a new manager in that department who may see the same deal differently. Or the same manager who may see a different deal that you bring differently. So remember, this is an ongoing dance, okay? So always remember that there's a second ask, in some cases a third and a fourth. So don't just ask and get a no and give up. Think of a second ask and always think from their interests, what's important to them. So guys, these are the 11 commandments. As I said, two lessons today, the common factor and the 11 commandments. So we're ending today's session right here because I wanted to start with your mindset, to get your mind right before we get into the other stuff, okay? So, but not so fast. There's quite a lot of work actually for you to do because I've got homework for you. Yeah, yes. Three questions. Number one, on your notebook, I want you to take some time, maybe an hour, maybe longer. I don't know how much time you need for this one. You can decide. Take your time and think. That's important. Think. And then write down 10 to 20 questions that you have. This is all about you, by the way, that you have about corporate partnerships and sponsorships. I mean, it's almost like I'm like handing you a blank check here, and I'm saying, ask me anything. 10 to 20 questions that you have about partnership. And don't be on some, well, see, you've got a program, you'll teach us this. No. You will get more out of this when everything I'm teaching is ticking boxes for you. That's the best way to learn, by the way. Anyway, let me not get into that. I was gonna say you skim through the book and then you start writing questions before you read the whole book, but that may confuse you because it's irrelevant to what we're talking about. But the point is, anything that I'll be teaching, you will see it when it answers your questions because it will click. But if you don't have questions, everything will just feel like, the harm of, of flow. So anyway, I'm not really saying it's optional to answer these questions. I expect you to do them in a friendly way, in a nice way, because it will help both of us, okay? So these are questions that if this program can answer for you, it will be a game changer, because that's really what I want. I want this to be the game changer for you. So if you could do that, so that's your first exercise. The second one is to dream. Why not? Why not, right? Dream and list 20 companies that if you can partner with them in some way, it would advance your business. The reality is that if you're going to get partnerships, you're going to have to do this anyway. You're going to have to come up with who's going to be your partner. So we're starting it now, right? We're starting it right now. Who do you want as your partner? So I want you to list 20 companies that we can target, that we can campaign, okay? So I want you to dream, really. Take a few days. Don't take too long, by the way. I want these answers by the end of the week, all of them. Before the next module, these answers, I need to have seen them. I'll tell you how you can send them to me. So that's number two. List 20 companies that if you can partner with them in some way, it would advance your business and your goals. And please also include what you would like from them. Because it's not enough to just say, No. What do you want? What would you want from them? Oh, and by the way, the only thing that I don't want you to write is money. Because it's easy. Everyone's like, oh, money. No, that's lazy. Let's look at resources, access, et cetera. So think, who would you want to approach and why? What would you want? Number three, I need to watch this training again. Not now, but make time to watch it again. It's not that long. But now, what I want you to do is to keep pausing it and write down any questions that come up as you listen to me, and then just email those to me so that I can answer them during our Q&A session later this week. So, because the Q&A session that we're gonna have live later this week, I'll just be answering your questions. It will be driven by your questions. If I don't get questions, we're gonna have dead air on that call, because I'm not gonna teach. Okay, I'm not gonna teach. I mean, that would be the point, eh? I'm not saying that to be harsh, of course, you know that. But let's interact, you know, because this is how you're gonna learn this stuff. This is how you're gonna master this stuff. Because that's my goal, for you to master this, okay? So the other two, you're gonna write them on your notebook. You can either email these to me, or you can take a picture. What's up the picture? Like I'm really easy, guys. I don't like to overformalize things because we get caught up in the process. You know, I want things to flow so that we get the essence of what you are trying to get out of this. I'm not too concerned about the container. I'm more interested in on the content, what's inside, what you get, you know. Imagine buying bottled water in a gold bottle, a bottle made of gold, pure gold, right? And all you want, you're in a desert, all you want is just water. Doesn't matter what container it's in. So that's why I'm saying, if you want, just take a picture, send it to me via WhatsApp. I'll just go through it, okay? I'll go through it. And, you know, the point is that work will continue. So let's not get caught up on being too formal. I just want work done, because money is waiting for you once you do the work and master the stuff. Okay, so I'm gonna leave it here, guys, for today. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much, and I wish you a great day.